God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing deep to the divine in the center, the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the critical of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study, show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We resume on this evening, Doctrine of U.S. and Prophecy. We are picking up Roman numeral 18, page 6 of our notes. All right, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to make sure that you are fully prepared for the dissemination of the truth of Bible doctrine. That is under the filling of God the Holy Spirit. As believers in Jesus Christ, we continue to crank out personal sins. This gets us out of fellowship. It puts the sin nature in the position of rulership over the real you experientially. How we get back into fellowship is 1 John 1:9, the rebound technique, where we have a rapid recovery system so that not to sin and enjoy sin with the following the letter of the law of 1 John 1:9, but so that we can serve God. It is not a license to sin. It is a license to serve God, 1 John 1:9. Therefore, at any given point in time when we so choose to do so, we can get in fellowship. And once again, this evening, profit from the study at hand in this vein. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Again, Father, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for yet another opportunity to be oriented in regards to your plan for mankind and for us, particularly today. Thank you for all the blessings and promises of taking care of positive volition throughout time and history, and to bring to fulfillment the execution of your plan, which ushers in, obviously, the age of maximum blessing in regards to human history as we so know it. We ask once again this evening that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to truth in the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, before we begin Roman numeral 18, Roman numeral 17, subpoint B at the end. Following the reference, the scriptural references of Jeremiah 50, verse 2, Revelation 14, 8, the next one should be 18, chapter 18, 1 through 3, and verses 21 through 24. Why I didn't immediately figure that out when I was teaching last class, well, that's the repercussions of age. So anyway, we've read those verses, we've looked at them, and obviously it recognizes the angelic participation, which is unique, really, in its global form in regards to that period of history that is set before us in the near future. All right, Roman numeral 18. Here we are going to document America's descent into evil. This particular section follows along the characterization of the United States as being a spiritual Edom, which is the twofold prophetic designation, along with Babylon in its economic political form, Edom representing the spiritual form that it takes, and that is that the grace of God's blessings is set before our country, before the United States. And with the great spiritual heritage that we are given, the United States ultimately turns away from that and dives headlong into evil, rejecting the blessings, and hence, just like Esau, is destined to come under God's wrath and a judgment by fire, even though, obviously, our judgment will be experiential. Esau's eternal as an unbeliever. So, Roman numeral 18, subpoint A. First of all, it's a nation established by God. All nations are established by God. He is the one that sets the boundaries in regards to nations, their time, and existence in history. Hence, he is responsible for the establishment of what the nation is, Jeremiah 18:9. As God speaks, or at another moment, I might speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom to build up or to plant it, that is, to establish it. God is in complete control of human history. It's up to man to determine through their own free will whether they choose to align with God's plan for human history or to rebel against it. And be on the negative side of God and experience His wrath in that regard. It's true in regards to our individual life. It's true in regards to global life and national life. Acts 17:26 further validates this principle. The definition and designation of the God that we serve is that He's not some trite, temporal, physical matter or entity that He exists. He is an all-powerful being, almost unperceptible in regards to His very existence and essence under His omnipotence, omnipresence, etc. Yet He is personable. He is real. He is the creator of our universe. The great lie, scientific lie, obviously science is being heralded as the savior of mankind today. There is true science, there is false science. With Bible doctrine, you can weave yourself through figuring out, in general at least, that which is fallacious and that which is true. And the doctrine of evolution under the principle of uniformitarianism is a false doctrine. It dismisses the existence of a higher being being instrumental and the actual creator, which according to the scripture is none other than the second member of the Godhead, God the Son, through whom and by whom and for whom all things have been created. Created our heavens and the earth, this highly intellectual being. He is, verse 24, the God who made the world and all things in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth. Not only is He responsible for physical creation, but also for spiritual creation. Those things that not only exist in our atmosphere and stellar heaven, but in the third heaven. All the things that we are seeing as described in the scriptures, including the angelic host in this respect. He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. It is the religious nature of men to make physical entities, idols, representations in regards to God. It has come to a point in the religious circle where buildings, the emphasis is put on the structure of the building more so even than the substance or content of the building, the people themselves. The church itself is often evaluated in regards to the architectural structure and size and things of the dwelling that is made in regards to their assembly for worship. The church is not a building. The church is made up of all believers, those who have believed in history or had believed up to the point of the day of Pentecost, and who will believe up to the point of the day of the rapture. God does not dwell in buildings. Yes, we understand the existence of theophany and Christophany, the Shekinah glory in the tabernacle and temple in the most holy place. This is simply God taking advantage to teach Bible doctrine, to express and show himself to others. He is not limited by these things as we are in our temporal finite beings. And neither, verse 25, is he served by human hands. That mentality God helps those who help themselves. God needs our help to save people. Things of this nature. Again, this does not diminutize the importance of the witness of the life, the importance of application of Bible doctrine. But people take on this form of self-righteousness as if God can't take care of themselves. We've got to save the world as men. The problem is we dismiss the very creator of the world in our very actions. And he is not served by human hands. He needs nothing. He's perfect. He's absolute. There is one thing that is absolute in regards to creation, and that is God. Therefore, everything revolves around and is evaluated by his very person and essence and being, including his attributes, such as his righteousness and justice. He is not served by human hands because he is perfect. He is complete, even though men may take issue in regards to the scriptures themselves as they try to point out apparent discrepancies or other aspects of scripture, of history, that falls under God's permissive will, and they propose that this conflicts in regards to God and his righteousness and justice otherwise. Rather than recognizing God's tolerance under grace in regards to men, in regards to their own evil, in his interaction with them. But anyway, he is neither served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all life and breath and all things. Our very continued existence in these earthly temples that we call a body, the oxygen that we breathe, the heart that continues to beat, and every aspect of blessing, of our acquisitions, if you will, whatever asset you may want to claim, whether it's physical, whether it's human, or whatever, is all via God. God provides all these things. And he bestows it according to his will in that vein. And he then, the author of Acts, extends from the temporal or individual recognition of God's intervention on behalf of man to their very national existence. That's verse 26, for our intents and purposes, and he made from one person, that's Adam, every nation of mankind, not some nations, not just Christian nations, or his chosen people nations, every nation, no matter how evil, destitute, or whatever they may be, is all part of his plan in regards to mankind. every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, of terra firma, wherever that nation may exist on our planet. No matter what continent, no matter what island it may be, He made these things. He brought together all the things, if you will, in orchestration, in harmony in regards to bringing forth the history of mankind and for men to play out their individual roles and parts in said fashion. In addition to making these nations, God's in charge of people having kids. He either opens the wombs or He closes the womb. Obviously, we have medical things that can help enhance and do these things. We understand the physical aspects in regards to this, but God's still in charge. That's why you have people that these things, these types of applications fail, and some do not. God's in charge. He's in charge of all life, whether we understand His actions at the moment or not. He's still in charge. Having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitations, that is God's decree of the existence of any nation and the individuals that live in it, within their national borders. And according to the time in history of which they were to exist. Obviously, nations have come and have gone. Some have been around for millennia. In our time, we've watched nations come and go. Czechoslovakia, where's that at? Where's that at anymore? Well, after the movie Stripes, they divided it all up. You know. And then he gives the reason, verse 27, why nationalism, which is one of the four divine institutions mandated by God upon the human race, is so decreed to be so, to be in the fashion that it is. And that is on behalf of population in time and history to give them maximum opportunity to express their population and worship God and fulfill God's plan for their life to the degree that they are positive, whether it's phase one or phase two or somewhere in between. That's verse 27, that they should seek God, if perhaps they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. You think about the human experience in regards to God. I mean, at least I think about it from my own personal perspective. You know, you hear about God through other people and through their faith, through what they believe, and you come to your own conclusion in regards to God. And there is something within certain people that says, I want to know this God. They believe fully within their soul that He exists and they want to have a relationship with Him. There are others that even though the evidence is clear and the science, if you will, points to a supreme being of unbelievable intellectual and power capabilities exist, they determine not to have a relationship with Him. This is all done at the age of what's called God consciousness in regards to the adolescent growing up in life. That's when people ultimately determine at that point in time. If you will, it's at a time of more or less innocence in regards to the child's life. And at that point in time, volition manifests itself whether or not they want to have a relationship with God or they do not. God reads all this. He knows all this. He has known from eternity past. And he makes preparation in order to deal with every choice of every individual that's ever made in this vein throughout human history. And if one is positive, he will ensure that they receive the gospel message and the truth of Bible doctrine to the extent that their position so desires. And he doesn't need us to help him. As Jesus said, if these people did not glorify me and sing praise to me, God would make these rocks talk on the day of the triumphal entry. You know, God's not limited. We're limited. Hence, recognizing your role and your position in regard to God, the privilege of serving God. You are here to serve God, not to be God. And too many religious people like to play God over others. Religious and non-religious. That they should seek God, if perhaps they might grow for Him. The groping, you really don't know. I mean, it's almost mysterious in nature in regards to the mentality of the human mind coming to grips in regards to this supreme being that exists. We just know He does. The evidence has clearly shown itself to us, and we embrace it under intellectual honesty. But we don't know exactly how to come about often to reach this God. You can only express it in your mind in regards to your thinking. God's reading your tape. And for those who are positive for a time, often they don't even know that they're ultimately positive. They just know they want a relationship with God. And hence they're looking around. People that get hooked into sound doctrine, often they have been out and they have been groping in the world looking for the truth of doctrine by going to this church, that church, whatever. See. And things just do not click. But then they hit it, they hear the truth, they're in fellowship, the communicator's in fellowship, the scripture is in line, it is soundly interpreted. And bingo, it's like that proverbial diamond shot in the middle of the forehead. You see it clearly. That's exactly the way it happened to me. That you should seek God, if perhaps they might grope for Him and find Him. Though He's not far from each one of us, obviously, as being omnipresent, He fills all space and time. But it's really that verse, you can take it, or that section of that verse, you can take that and you can apply it in your daily life. He's never far from us. Whatever else is going on, God hasn't forsaken us. He hasn't gone off somewhere. See? No matter what test and situation we may be facing, God creates nations, nationalism, the government of nationalism, in order to give man maximum opportunity to pursue God and to have a relationship with Him. If they live in a country that is oppressive spiritually, etc., then they have opportunity to relocate God, obviously, behind the scenes, blessing them in regards to their attempts, etc., to go to a place or find a place so they can worship, so they can come to the truth, etc. Internationalism, globalism, as it's understood in the political and economic world today, is as evil as it gets. It's not the first attempt of mankind to pull this shenanigan in regards to throwing off the yoke of God's divine institution and nationalism. The Tower of Babel was the first. God made it clear to Noah and his descendants to go out and create nations. And of course, immediately, not long after all that, they decide to rebel against God and they formulate the first one world, one religious attempt to express themselves. And that is the time that God intervened. And at that point in time in history, everyone was speaking one language, and He confused the languages. Hence, the term Babel means a land of confusion. That's what we live in today. That's what our country represents today, is Babylon. the land of confusion. Nobody knows their the poop from Shinola, to put it mildly. You know, they don't know the difference between these things. Confusion. Everybody's a liar. Nobody's a liar. You know, that's Satan's strategy. That's how you divide the house. You divide the house will fall. See. For in Him we live and move and exist. For even some of our own points have said, for we also are His offspring. Recognizing the divine design of the human being, the higher being of mankind. Being then the offspring of God, verse 29, we ought not to think that divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and thought of man. God's thoughts are not our thoughts, His ways are not our ways. So, obviously, God established our nation in the form of which our history has recorded for us, at least to some accuracy. And over time, and through the manipulation of evil, nefarious types of power and prestige, they have come to manipulate people in our government, as well as other governments, to break down the barriers. And the barrier, obviously, the plow that was used to break the barrier is economy, a global economy. The Federal Reserve, can you say, federal banking system. And the advent of nationalism is quickly being displaced throughout the world. And we are a dominant force that has brought this about. As I've mentioned before, and most of us know, Bush Sr., President Bush Sr., made it clear. He at that point in time, you knew the momentum in regards to the New World Order was at such velocity that it was not going to be stopped, as he openly declared that we were part of a New World Order as a nation. That's our goal, see. So, divine institution of naturalism, we put it as number 4. It's designed to provide the parameters and geography for a positive volition to maximize itself with his little obstruction as possible. Obviously, we all have our tests. You can even be in the more most Christian nations to have your tests, so I understand that. The maximum possibility in our country is founded to provide that maximum possibility to abandon and get away from the religious constraints and oppression that the people, the Chaldeans in Europe, were experiencing under the other arm of Babylon, the Roman Catholic Church. So B, as evidence regards to being founded on Christian principles, God blessing us with this inheritance, if you will, that we have turned to despise by many, having obvious impact. Well, I guess California's shutting down their entire state again. Over 7,000 deaths. A population from 43 to 46 million people live in that state. Do the math. That's less than 0.1% of people that have died. Shut down the churches. They got to shut down the bars or else it'll be unconstitutional. You know, I bet you a dollar if they get away with it, leave the bars open and shut down the churches. I'm telling you. The attack that's coming on our country is unprecedented in regards to religious freedom, the right to worship. God has really graced us out living here in Northeast Ohio. As bad as you think the weather is, thank God for it, as long as we have our freedom to continue to assemble. And throughout history, God has blessed us immensely, economically and otherwise. And that is part of the, obviously, prophecy in regards to future Babylon, Jeremiah 51:7. Got to look close in regards to these reports you see out there. You know, all these big spikes, they say, that are occurring in regards to the cases of the COVID virus. One researcher did an investigation in this one great week of spikes that they had in Texas, and they saw that they actually had some cases that dated back in March and April. That had not found their way through delays, through medical delays, and just procedures and red tape, had not found their way. So they added all those in that 1 week's cases of that appeared in that respect. So it's not really a true picture of how many cases came out that 1 week, but that's the way the media presents it. And what people got to understand and get over for the adjusted believer is that no, there is no one in the media, in mainline media, that you could truly trust. I don't care how conservative they may say they are. You got to understand, this is the way this thing operates. This is the way this thing works. They got to appease the conservative mind. They got to appease the liberal mind so they can maintain some type of civility in regards to the nation to keep the nation going. You can't sit here and tell me that Trump's not part of all this big global movement. Yes, he is. Just as much as any of the others. He just provides that salve for smarting in regards to the conservative Christian element in regards to our nation over the past 8 years before that. You know, people start to wake up and realize these things. Jeremiah 51:7. I haven't read the verse. I'll read it. Babylon has been a golden cup in the hand of the Lord, intoxicating all the earth. The gold obviously representing the immense value and prosperity that we have enjoyed over the centuries and our international dealings with others. The nations have drunk of our wine, our expansion going into other countries, third world countries, communist socialistic countries, introducing capitalism, planting the seed of the industry and things of this nature, and providing them with trade secrets and all this other stuff so that they can feed off our wealth. We've economically been breastfeeding all these nations over this world in the past century or so. And they get a taste of the greed. They get a taste of the power. And obviously, we've said it before, it's nothing new under the sun. All the money that we have shipped out to give to other nations just on top of the industry and the economic element in regards to societies. All those have gone to line the people of power and prestige in government and otherwise in regards to these countries. Very little ever trickles down to the average Joe, the average citizen of the country. Just makes the rich richer, those who will comply, trade off their precious metals or whatever elements or other natural resources that the industry wants out of their country, you know, all these things. And they've all drunk of her wine. They've all gone in and got a taste of it. And the foregoing matter has concluded to be, therefore the nations are going mad. They want more money. The greed takes hold. Start investing in our country. Start buying up all of our industry and things of this nature. Foreign countries. Like we joke, you know, made in America, hats on the back says made in China. Or make America great, or God bless America, whatever. You get my drift. We are one of the largest importer countries rather than exporter anymore. And we're really doing a great job of building up the American industry otherwise, as we do as governors that want to be their own dictators, close down businesses all over the place in America. The hypocrisy, oh man, it's just, it's raunchy. It's obvious. And people are seeing it. We're not the only ones. Just because you have doctrine doesn't don't have doctrine doesn't mean you can't see clearly some of these things. But it's also become very obvious that the majority, at least at this point in time, the citizens of our country are just satisfied to lay back and go with the flow. See, as America became the economic leader of the world, she began a gradual descent into evil. 1 Timothy 6:10, which gives you the principle, the love of money should be a root of all evil. It's a root. In the Greek, there is no definite article that was misquoted. Let me see here. Double check myself, make sure I'm telling you right. For a root of all evil is the love of money. No definite article. This book proves it. So D, what is her evil? Economic internationalism, whereby she has led other nations into evil. The company I used to work for, I had a life before I was a pastor. Kind of crazy at times, but it was a life. One of the largest private holding insurance companies in America. Been on doctrine, sit there and you watch insurance, and what's going on there. And sure enough, the market opens up in China, and there they go. They start expanding, etc. And it makes you wonder what they're doing today. For all the confusion and animosity that is going between countries. Economic internationalism. You can't be happy with being a billionaire. You got to be a trillionaire. See? Again, Jeremiah 51:7. Intoxicating all the earth. She came under the control of monopolistic socialists. Again, as I've brought out in other classes, you may have a diversity of different companies promoting the same product. But what you find in industry is certain major companies monopolizing all of it. Your telephone industry, cell phone industry, a handful of companies truly monopolize the system. AT&T, etc. Obviously, we have these laws in place. They're supposed to protect the citizen from this type of activity, but they work their way around it. The computer game, Microsoft, Apple, basically monopolize it all. You know, if you're not plugged into their system, you're not going to go anywhere with computers. the IBM people, things of this nature, the auto industry, the oil industry. Back when I was doing roughnecking, there were several independent oil companies throughout the country. I was working for one of the drilling companies, Baker and Taylor, Texas Panhandle. What a job. But anyway, the term white trash, that's where it comes from. I'll tell you a little story. Worked morning tower. That was from 11 o'clock at night to 7 in the morning. It's summertime in Texas. It's a good schedule to have because it's cool. And there's about five of us on the rig. Most of us lived in Perryton, Texas. Our rig was an hour and 20-minute drive away from where we lived. And the driller, as part of the perks, would pick us up and take us to work. There would be some days that the only sleep I would get is when the driller would come by and pick me up and be in the car going to work because I was out at the lake drinking beer and partying most of the day otherwise. And then on the way home, he would drop us off. Well, the driller I worked for, he's a believer. His son was a believer. I met him at the Nazarene College there in Bethany, the son. That's how I got hooked into this thing. And he decided he was going to take us to breakfast one morning. And he stopped at a restaurant. And all five of us went down and sat down at a table. And, of course, that you work around the elements and the environment, your senses become accustomed to the feel, what they call mud that they put in the pits to put in the drilling holes, which is made of pig's hairs and snouts and toenails and all this other stuff. It reeks. And your body tends to absorb the odor. And we sit down for breakfast. And this is a true Ken Reed story. The table next to us, a family next to us, they sat there and they tolerated it for about 5 minutes. And they got up and they said, "We need another table." So then I recognized, oh, this is why we're called white trash. Okay, gotcha. Of course, it didn't slow us down. We had breakfast. So why that came to my mind, it just did. But oil companies, that's what I was talking about. The independent, small, the major players are the ones that have survived. And they've beaten out the smaller companies. And now our whole system is geared to continue to try to wipe out the middleman. Small businesses, they're the ones that are going bankrupt back and forth. All over the place, and is the big markets, the box markets, box stores, etc. They're the ones that continue to thrive. It's fine for them to go out and mingle with the population in the midst of this health crisis that we're in, but everybody else has to go home and shut their doors and lock themselves inside. If that's not evil, I don't know what is. If that's not injustice, I don't know what is. That they had the freedom to make this choice. And because you have a mom and pop business, and of course the regulations come down, and they're so overbearing that people that have small business, such as small restaurants, etc., that they have to fill the tables up to make a living, they can't do it anymore. Because they have to have more room. That's more overhead. What, $20 a square foot, things being rented? I don't know what the lease rate is anymore. So, you know, all this stuff. Economic internationalism. This is all part of our evil. And it is our government driving and imposing and enforcing this evil upon our society today. And the major players are those who are in charge and have the most wealth and power in regards to industry. And as we know, Bill Gates is one of them. Bill Gates in correlation with the Hopkins University. You tell me that their meeting in November of 2019 was some type of freak coincidence of a COVID panic. Their whole deal was about a coronavirus. Their trial, their planning in case this would ever happen. And 3 months later, there it is. That's a coincidence? I say, I don't believe in luck. This is orchestrated. And all this is designed to dissemble the whole matter of nationalism and the mindset that has otherwise been instilled in people's minds throughout the centuries. To dismantle a nationalistic system and to try to bring about unity of world government. And these merchants, called the great merchants of the book of James, are the major players behind it that are pulling the strings, lining the pockets of our government officials, etc. And I'm not saying that all government officials are evil. I'm not saying that all of them lie. Ron Paul thinks that maybe there's a couple that don't. He was a representative. But there sure is no time of Davy Crockett in our Congress anymore, I can tell you that much. Do your history research. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, verse 3, Revelation 18. And the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, going hand in hand, conspiring with the great merchants in their own way, in their own rights, to gain the economic advantage in their own countries. That's the leaders. See, the kings, the dictators, the presidents of the European countries, the leaders of Russia, the leaders of China, you name it. They have all committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. Verse 9, the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and live sensually with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning. And then verse 23, and the light of the lamp will not shine in you any longer, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will not be heard in you any longer, for your merchants were the great men of the earth. Compare James. Because of all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. And it shows you that they are the understate operation in regards to the things that are going on in our country today. And not on, many of them are not even behind the scenes anymore, that much anymore. They're blatantly obvious. Insurance companies coming in to use their influence to tell people otherwise who were free to have insurance or not have insurance based on their own choice in life, how they wanted to gamble their investments or not. Whether they should have insurance or not, and force them to have insurance. That's all about getting the citizen to conform, give up your right. The Patriot Act and the surveillance laws that were passed are now coming in, and they're biting us in the ass. As they will use the contact tracing and things of this nature through all the implementation of the technology that has come about through passing those laws back then. And again, one of these days we'll get to know the truth about all this. But the great merchants, their sorcery, the almighty dollar, make you rich. The only thing is, you got to line up with us. You want to be successful in life, you got to line up with us. You want to be successful in government, you got to conform to our ideology and support us. If her citizens came under the idolatry of covetousness, lustfulness, and were unwilling to break the control, and if that's not obvious today, I don't know what is. We may get a reprieve. God may give us reprieve to a certain degree before the rapture happens. So, I don't know. I can't answer these questions. I don't know yet. I got to write it out like the rest of us. But the willingness, almost helplessness that you see among American citizens. But where are all these people, the civil rights people, et cetera, have been raising hell over the years for injustice and things like that going on in our society? Where are they yelling at today? Where are they getting up and barking at government today? The survivalists and all these militia groups, where are they at? You'd think they'd be raising Cain. Well, yes, it's been made aware to me that maybe some of that is going on. The media obviously is squelching it. That was part of the plan of the episode 201, in order to control population control, you got to control the media. See, they only want you to hear what they want you to hear. That's why you can't find out the facts in regards to the mainline media that we have today. Because they're all owned by the same people that have their hands in the same pocket as the globalists. Jeremiah 50, verse 38. A drought on her waters, and they will be dried up. This kind of is metaphorical in regards to their spiritual depravity, spiritual desolation, even though drought obviously physically occurs as part of the five cycles of discipline. For it is a land of idols. See, that shows you the spiritual overtone is designed to be with this verse. A land of idols. How many idols people have? How many idols do you have? Is money your idol? Is a boyfriend, girlfriend your idol? Is your family your idol? Is your job your idol? Anything that you place before God and the plan of God in your life becomes your idol. Understand that. And our country has dove completely and totally into idolatry, cranking up every idol they can, and hence giving room for every unclean bird to come in and settle. What band's your idol, if they can be called that anymore? Last good news, as far as I'm concerned, went out when the 70s went out. Now that was good music. 60s, etc. You know. What Hollywood star is your idol? It's one thing to obviously enjoy the blessings that God gives us and the advantage of these things in time. It's another thing when you start putting it before God and His plan in your life. When they start interfering with your spiritual advance, when they start interfering with your applications of Bible doctrine. When you're more preoccupied in regards to your idols than you are being in fellowship and communing with God, you've got a problem. And it's something that you need to address. See? Jeremiah 50, verse 38, I was reading that. For it is a land of idols, and they are mad over fearsome idols. Fearsome idols. Those things that they put in their hope and trust in that create fear. Oh, can you say mainline medicine? Well, if you're on the right show, you can. boys and girls. And all these things that people exalt, you know, obviously we understand there's a proper place. And these things are beneficial and can be a blessing for us. But the problem is that in our country, God is being taken out of the picture in regards to these things. And these things become more important than God. Mainline medicine becomes more important in regards to the person's private right to their own body and their own choices in regards to their life. Mandatory vaccinations and things of this nature. Oh, maybe it's not the best. Maybe it's not the best choice. But who the hell's tell me whether it is or it isn't? Only I am. Only I have that right. See, that's freedom. You don't have that, you don't have freedom. Let everybody out of prison. Let all the criminals out of prison so we can lock up the people who don't wear a mask. No. People want the problem with the SCA. The SCA wants to impose itself on others. As one believer said, don't impose your fear on me. No, you don't be stupid about things. But you still got a faith rest. And you got to do your homework. You got to do your research. I'm telling you, if you don't do your own research, you'll fall into the mainline step and march in regards to what's going on. And you'll find yourself in those very predicaments that I'm trying to warn against tonight. Study to show yourself approved. See? God gave us a mind for a reason to think and consider these things and work these things out with doctrine. With doctrine. And doctrine puts us on the right path. Doctrine tells us, well, what's going on today? Well, the doctrine of the fig tree is being fulfilled. Israel's back in the land. We're a major player. We are a major supporter of the United Nations and globalist internationalism. We possess the great merchants. The platform calls for mandatory control and getting people to volunteer, if you will, to take the mark of the beast eventually. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God's Holy Spirit continue to light us these things. In Jesus' name, amen.